Good morning, everyone. It is an overcast Saturday, but we're here and everything is peachy keen with us at 412-928-9370. That's the number to call. It's also the number of the Fan text line. It's brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. And Fan Twitter. If you'd like to get on Twitter, you can hook the Fan up. It's brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them, southhillskia.net. Our show is brought to you by Number One Cochrane. Shop 24/7 with expressway cochrane.com. Yeah, you'll get some great buys and ride in style with Number One Cochrane. PNC Bank, Shenderovich, Shenderovich and Fishman, Ireland Contracting, Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. All thank you very much for participating in the program. Weather coming up at the end of the hour. Nathan Haluschek is behind the glass taking your calls at 412-928-9370. Well, it's a busy weekend. If you like college basketball and if you are a big believer that Pitt got screwed, you have a lot of ammunition because the ACC has three teams in the Elite Eight. Now, a lot of people talked about the Mountain West Conference coming in like, oh, these guys are really good. You know, matchup styles will determine who's really good, and that's what we're seeing here. The ACC is 11-2 so far in this tournament. The Mountain West is 4-6. The ACC has three teams in the Elite Eight. The Mountain West has zero. I heard that argument a lot, and while we never see these teams play, a lot can be made by just looking at resumes, but then again, a lot can't be made. When you go with better competition, what is it like? So the ACC has put up a nice little battle here with three in the Elite Eight, including Clemson, a team which is playing very well. And then you have NC State. Who saw that happening? Although I got to tell you, NC State has been on a roll. There's no question, and it looked like their season might be over, say, 3 weeks ago. They were trailing Louisville, which is a bad team at the time, and they have since then not done anything but win, win, win. They came back, won that game, and now they, you know, go on through the ACC tournament. They beat North Carolina. They beat Duke. Duke will get a chance to play NC State again now in one of these Elite Eight matchups. And NC State, we saw him in Pittsburgh here. DJ Burns, everything goes through him. And last night I thought, you know, Marquette did a pretty good job of trying to take him away. They doubled down. They put guys around him. But, boy, his passing skills are better than most. And he opened up the game for other people. And other people took advantage of that for NC State. So that'll be an interesting matchup, too. Anyway, Pitt should have gotten in based on that. You know, of these three elite teams, Pitt won three games. They won at Duke. They beat NC State twice. And they were left out of this in favor of Virginia, which turned out to be a real mistake. That was the team Pitt should have been in for. In fact, Pitt should have been even without that play-in opportunity. They didn't need that. But, you know, what are you going to do? It is what it is. Drew Joyce is the new head coach of Duquesne. That's not a surprise. He was a big favorite and on the staff of Keith Dambrot. And after they were eliminated, it didn't take long. And, of course, the news came from LeBron James, which you would think would help NIL money for sure. The man's a billionaire, and if he can help Drew Joyce's former teammate from long ago, he may very well do that. I know Donnie Football, a.k.a. Donnie Baseball, was talking baseball in Buckle. He's got to change the name, don't you think, Nate, for this show here? I know that's Don Mattingly's handle.
At least for 2 hours on a weekend.
At least for 2 hours. I mean, Donnie Football, that's great, but you're talking baseball, and he does a really good job with the program as well. So you got a lot of insight in that game. How about the Pirates? Pirates are in a situation where they've won their first two games, first time since 2018. And while I do not want to elaborate more than that, there are some good signs. I think we saw coming into this that, you know, they were a team that had a very solid bullpen. And what have we seen so far? The bullpen has been terrific. 10 innings, no runs allowed by the bullpen. 2 hits, I believe, if I'm looking at this correctly, I'm trying to add up. And yesterday, we have one of the great names in sports. Who got the win. And when you think of guys who have names like Ryder Ryan, like that's a sports name, right, Nate? You Ryder Ryan.
It doesn't sound like a scientist's name.
No, it sounds like a sports name. And he got his first win. He looked very good. He made this team. He's not a young guy. He's 28. He's been around. But, you know, sometimes it takes just the perfect opportunity to get the most out of your game. And, you know, it's one win. It's one opportunity. But he got a win. How about that? And Jose Hernandez in the first game of the year got his first ever save on a situation where you never would have thought it got to that. If I looked at the basic numbers, this is why sports is great, because you can never come to conclusions, which is why also why I'm completely out of my bracket pool, because I just have no idea. You know, I look at stats. I shouldn't look at stats. I should just make gut feelings. Anyway, the Pirate bullpen, as I said, has been great, but that first game when they won in 12 innings, 6-5, it went against everything you would have thought for the Pirates, everything. They were only 2-for-17 with runners in scoring position. That's it for the entire game, 2-for-17. If I had told you that they would leave 13 guys on base, that they would strike out 17 times, you would have thought there's no way they win that game, but somehow they won that game. They got some long ball activity, and I think they're going to have more home runs than people probably give them credit for. They got a team that can strike it, and Brian Hayes is going to be a big key to that. He's off to a 4-for-7 start. But, again, keep it all in perspective. It's two games. They started 20-8 last year and then immediately went 56-78. So it's a long season, that's for sure. It's a very interesting day for the Pirates, because you'll hear this game today at 4 o'clock here on The Fan, preceded by Dan Zangrilli with the North Shore Tavern leadoff show. But Jared Jones will be pitching for the Pirates. He's a 22-year-old who made this team, again, just made it impossible for them to send him down. So he's going to get the start. He has 100-mile-an-hour velocity in that arm of his, and he's pretty good locator of his pitches from what I've seen in spring training. Now, will that translate into regular season? We'll find out. But also opposite that is Paul Skenes making the start at AAA Indianapolis. I think we all know what Paul Skenes is. I think we also know how the Pirates are playing their hand here. You can argue he should have been up now if you believe that they are a contending team. I don't yet, but I think they're making progress that way. Wyatt Langford was the 4th overall pick in the same draft, and he's in Texas's lineup. They just won a world championship, and, you know, they're not wasting time with him. He's ready. They're putting him in the line. I remember Wyatt Langford was a guy that a lot of people thought the Pirates might go to if they wanted to not take a pitcher. But anyway, Skenes, it'll be interesting to see how both go. Skenes down there, Jared Jones up here. But the Pirates have gotten some good hitting, and last night it was a combination of Martin Perez, who's a veteran starter, and you saw, you know, how he works himself. He got the 4-plus innings, did a good job, but then the bullpen came in, and like I said, Ryder Ryan and Josh Fleming, another guy they acquired from Tampa Bay who's been a starter down there, he came in and closed out the game to get his first save, or second save, I think it is. I'm not sure how many. I think it's 2 for him. Anyway, we'll get into that as well. We're closing in on the NFL draft. There's mock drafts left and right. You can believe what you want to believe. We'll see how it goes for the Steelers, who've been very, you know, interesting in how they've handled this offseason. And they've gone against what they've publicly said at times. But you got to give them credit for doing something outside the box for them. They wanted to make a deal. They wanted to get better at quarterback. And their whole plan was to get rid of 3 quarterbacks and bring 2 new ones in. I think it evolved that way. You know, maybe they wanted Kenny Pickett to hang around and bring in. They said they're going to bring in competition. Well, the competition was Russell Wilson. And for whatever reason, everything changed. And whether it was Pickett, according to Mike Tomlin, it was Pickett, who said, I don't want to be here then, if that's the case. I would have thought Pickett would have doubled down. I'm better. I'm going to play. I'm going to work myself into that role. You're not going to just knock me out, you know, but he chose the other. Now he's in Philadelphia, where I don't know if his chances are any better of playing at all. He is the backup, and unless there's an injury, he won't play. I can't see anything other than that picking an opportunity in Philadelphia. We'll see. But there's a lot going on here. They've also been in the market for a quarterback in the draft, and I see that Michael Penix is coming in for an interview or a meeting. Normally, they don't waste time with a whole bunch of these interviews if they don't think seriously about drafting guys. So I would imagine that if he's around at some point, I wonder how high it is that he'll be, you know, taken in the draft, because it won't be in the first round. The first round has a lot of quarterbacks in it. You know about Caleb Williams. He should be first overall, although I'm not going to say that's a slam dunk either. Jaden Daniels is a Heisman winner, and he's a really talented guy. Drake May's very talented, and what I keep seeing is J.J. McCarthy's moving right up the draft boards. He had a wonderful pro day. Everyone raved about it. You're shaking your head here, Nate. A lot of people would shake their heads with you. Why don't you give him the respect he deserves? They won a national championship.
Because his team didn't trust him to throw the ball. You look at last year, how many times in the second half of games, he wasn't throwing the ball.
He didn't have to throw. Although I will tell you this, when he did have to throw the ball, the numbers, you know, you can argue some good, some bad. They didn't have to. They had a wonderful run game that they relied upon. They play Big Ten football. That's the way they play it. They don't need him to throw it.
I saw a stat, and I don't know specifically, so I'm not going to say it on the air, but there was a stat essentially that had how many passes he had thrown while his team was either tied or losing. And I believe it's under 40.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll see. I mean, sometimes guys...
He's unproven, that's all. He has the body of an NFL guy.
He does. And he looked, you know, he's a winner. You can say that about him, right? I mean...
He was able to keep the train on the tracks for Michigan, that's for sure.
He was able to do that, yes. So we'll find out about those four quarterbacks and if anybody else gets on there. You know, my belief is the Steelers are going to go offensive line in the first round. They have to. They need help at center. They need help at tackle. They need depth. They need everything there. So you can bring in all the quarterbacks you want, but you better have better offensive line play, especially with a run game that's going to be first and foremost in how they attack. Still no word on Najee Harris and whether or not they're going to pick up the fifth-year option. I believe they will, but it's just taking some time. It's not that big of a sum of money here. They got two quarterbacks for dirt cheap at this point, so they do have money to spend. 412-928-9370. Let's go to Pete in the South Hills, who's kicking us off here this morning. Hello, Pete. How are you?
Hey, Bob, I'm doing well. Thanks so much. I wanted to talk quickly about the Pirates. Obviously a pretty good start this year. The only kind of, pessimistic side of me thinks that they did not have a lot of power last year. That hasn't hurt them, obviously, in the beginning two games, but it's a long season, like you mentioned. It's just interesting because last year they're in the bottom 10 in batting average, bottom 10 in home runs. So I really wanted them to go out and get a guy that could be that power bat, a guy like a Rhys Hoskins or somebody like that that can – make sure that offense continues to flow through, because I like the talent that they have. I like the young guys that they have, but you're putting a lot of stock in the what ifs of your, farm system, your developmental guys. So that's my biggest problem. And also just obviously, unless Paul Skeens comes up and is lights out, I don't know if they have a starting pitcher that can stop the bleeding when the Pirates inevitably go on this 4, 5, 6 game losing streaks like they typically do in the middle of the summer. So aside from those two things, I like what they have so far. It's just I wanted them to do a little bit more in the offseason. Unfortunately, they didn't.
No, I you talk about hitting, Pete. I would rather them – I wanted to see some more starting pitching coming in for the reasons you just cited. They need help in that department. So you're relying on a lot of guys. And they have some very talented arms in their system. I'm not going to discount that for those guys developing, like Jared Jones. I don't think people thought Jared Jones was going to have a spot in this rotation. If he should blossom quickly right before our eyes, that's a great thing. If you have him, Skeens, and if Skeens is what he is, and Keller being what he is, but you still need more, and I thought they should have done that. I do think it's their power numbers will be up. Just by having Cruz healthy, I think you saw the power the other day when he went the opposite field. It looked like off the bat, end of the bat to me, and he smacked at the left field. And I think Hayes is going to show you, I hope he does anyway, that the second half of the season was what he's evolved into, which is a 300 hitter who can hit 20 home runs. So
yeah, I agree. Yeah, I agree. And I think, when you talk about that starting pitching, they have those young arms down, whether it's a Quinn Priester who could potentially come back up, after a pretty rough, 2023 campaign when he got called up to the big leagues. That's a guy, again, a third, fourth starter on your rotation that you're just very unsure about. And that's kind of the feeling that I have with a lot of their a lot of their starting pitching is, even Keller, the first game did not look great. The bullpen's always, I think, in my opinion, going to be there with the depth that they have, even though they have a few injuries, shipping out Brubaker and things like that. But at the end of the day, it really comes down to that starting pitching and not just giving you 5 innings of 3-4 run ball, but those guys that can not tax out the bullpen, not have to go 5 innings each right. game, but can potentially go 6 or 7 innings.
Well, they're hoping guys like Martin Perez and Marco Gonzalez can do that. Thanks, Pete, for the call. Appreciate that. Did you know the Pirates have turned 7 double plays in 2 games? That is the most the Pirates as a franchise have done to start a season in over 100 years. And the last team to do that in the National League was the Mets in 2007. So they've been good about cleaning things up when things got messy, especially in that first game when you had all these extra inning situations. They've got out of some messes. Now, one of the things I don't like is you're still seeing base running blunders. Last night, Cruz got thrown out at third. No reason to even go tag up from second to third on a fly to left. They weren't going to get the guy coming home. You knew that throw was coming to the third. That was a bonehead play, and I assume it was him, not third base coach. So they still have those kinds of things to worry about. But, Man, again, as I go to break here, this bullpen has been really good in two games. We expect them to be strong, and they're without three of their best bullpen arms. And David Bednar, who's still not well for whatever reason. And then you have Colin Majinski. You hope he's okay because he's a good, young, hard-throwing guy. And Colin Holderman. Those guys are all out. And yet this bullpen has done a pretty good job. All right, we got Jim, we got Mark, we got Brad, we got more calls on the way. It's 412-928-9370. This is the Bob Pompeiani Show, Sports Radio, 93.7 The Fan. Thank you to PNC Bank. Make today the day. Shenderovich, Shenderovich, and Fishman, they got your bag, not your wallet. Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call. Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg, and number one, Cochrane. Go over to one of their 19 different dealerships, 24-7 with expressway.cochrane.com. I want to tell you about 93.7 The Fan and the Pittsburgh Pirates. Want to visit your teams in action for our youth baseball and softball showcase. Parents and coaches, send an email. All you have to do is youthsports@93.7thefan.com to register your 12 and under team. And 93.7 The Fan may surprise you and make a stop to your field. Details at 93.7thefan.com. Lots going on today. We're talking about the NCAA tournament. The Pittsburgh Pirates start at 2-0. Should also add the Penguins are in Columbus tonight. Now, they're kind of... You know, some people want to keep saying they're alive. Okay, they're alive. They have 10 games left, but they're 8, make that 7 points behind the Capitals for the second wild card. So you'd have to go 10-0. The Flyers are 10 points ahead of them for third in the division. I don't see that changing unless the Penguins go extremely hot and other teams give back. It's too much to ask for, which is why you're seeing some more younger players in their lineup, and I'm glad to see that. Alex Nylander is a guy who's playing for Columbus, and so far in 15 games has 8 goals for them. I don't know if that's just because he gets more opportunity and they have spots to field. You know, they made that trade, and Nylander was up here. I always liked potential game that he had, although he was a draft pick a long time ago, so it's taken him a while to find his footing, and good for him. He has an opportunity in Columbus. Let's go back to the phone lines at 412-928-9370. We have Jim, who joins us on line one. What's up, Jim? How are you?
I'm better than I deserve. I'm skeptical about the Steelers quarterback situation for this reason. I don't believe Pickett was given much of an opportunity. If you go back 6, 7, 8 years before Ben Roethlisberger retired, he was a Hall of Fame quarterback, and under Mike Tomlin and the Rooney family, they went nowhere. They got nothing. They can't even win a playoff game. So they brought in an old quarterback and a young quarterback, and it's up for grabs, I guess, but I don't see any change in the Steelers' ability to win any football games under Mike Tomlin.
Well, we'll see. We'll see, Jim. Thanks for the call. How that goes. Yeah, I don't know about Kenny Pickett. He had 25 games to show his medal, and I expected to see more from him. That doesn't mean he can't at some point get the opportunity and run with it. They expected that sooner. I also expected them to bring him back. I did. I thought for sure they would do that. Once they made it clear that Mason Rudolph was out there, they said they wanted to bring him back, but they really didn't extend an offer. He ended up taking, and he has an actual better situation, I think, Nathan, down in Tennessee than Kenny Pickett has in Philadelphia, right? And when you look at it, I think he can beat Will Levis out straight up from training camp.
Yeah, one guy's a first-round draft pick. The other guy's been to a Super Bowl, and I think that obviously, I'd much rather be in Tennessee where you have a chance to play, whereas Hurts is the unquestioned starter.
Yeah, he's been injured a few times, so he may get his opportunity that way, but it's not, if it does happen, he won't be, I don't care how well he plays, they're not going to defer to him and bench Hurts after all the money they gave him. They just won't do it. So the situation for Mason Rudolph is better. But yeah, I thought once Russell Wilson came in that he and Kenny would go at it, and it went the other direction. I'm not sure who, you know, how it all went out behind closed doors, but Mike Tomlin said he expressed to them a desire to be traded. So apparently they gave him options, New Orleans and Philly, and he took the Philly one close to home. Mark joins us right now in Fort Lauderdale. Mark, thank you for calling the Bob Pompeiani Show on this dreary Saturday, although I sense it. Have you had a Ron Cook sighting down there anywhere in Florida? He's traveling all over the place.
I was looking for Ron when I was over at the Twins Pirates game this spring, but I didn't see him. But today's weather is beautiful here. We're getting ready for baseball. We had the roof open last night at Marlins Park, about 80 degrees, Windex blue sky, very little humidity. You're just like you're having the bird when I come up there this summer.
What's on your mind?
I wanted to ask you, talk to you about Bucco baseball. I told you last year I thought Ben Charrington had this farm system in tremendous shape, and I continue to believe that. And I think I like the plan that he has, bringing Marco Gonzalez this year, and Martin Perez as stopgap pitchers too, because I think the future is really in Indy and Altoona. We'll see. We'll obviously see Skeens, but besides Skeens, you know, Braxton Ashcroft, this year in Altoona, you're going to have Bubba Chandler, Anthony Solomento. I mean, I like the way it's going here with the Buccos. I think they got a good shot at bringing some young players up. I know you don't like the word prospects. I get it. After 20-some years, this the situation. But another kid for Notre Dame, Jack Brannigan, scouts really liked him a lot this spring. I mean, I think it's not just the old Pirates. They have, like, it's not just if one or two guys doesn't make it. They have a lot of quantity in their farm system, and I attribute that to Ben. You know, Tamar Johnson, a scout told me the other day, it's all Tamar Johnson this spring, told me there's no way he'll play two more years of minor league baseball. This kid's ready to go to the big leagues in a year. So yeah, we'll find out.
I've heard nothing but good things about Johnson. They have a glut of people all of a sudden on the infield, you know, when you look at it. And they have Triolo, who playing second base. And I really like his game there. I think he's he was a gold glove third baseman in the minors. There's no reason he can't be really solid defensively. I know he made an error in the first game of the year, but so what? Hayes made two last night, but I think it was more on the conditions than it was him. But I think Triolo eventually is going to end up being your first baseman. That's where I would have him slotted. I'm not sure about Roddy Tellez beyond this year. I think they want young guys who can field and hit. And if he shows he can hit, he may have a job in first base down the road.
Yeah, I think it'll be an interesting situation. The thing I think people don't realize, though, is the Central Division. People say it's a weak division. I totally disagree. I think that Nick Kroll in Cincinnati's built a tremendous farm system there, too. And I also like the kid Jackson Chiro. I think he's the best young player in baseball this year. You'll see rookie of the year, maybe, in Milwaukee. You know, the Cardinals spent a fortune in pitching this offseason. So I don't think it's a weak division by any means. But I think the Pirates are gonna be very competitive, and I'm looking forward to it.
Mark, all right, man. Have a good day down in FLA. Appreciate your call at 412-928-9370. Let's get to Brad in Johnstown, who joins us right now. Brad, what's up?
Oh, hey, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to bring this up. I know there's been some new developments with it, but I really feel like Trevor Bauer is at least financially a low-risk, high-reward guy. Now, I know there's some concerns about his background and whatnot, some things going on.
That's true of Herman, too, and they brought him on with no questions asked. Aroldis Chapman's had some issues in his past, too.
And I agree 100% with that. And I kind of, you know what, maybe this is just thinking too much into it, but I really think, like, the teams in Japan or whatever would have probably pretty thoroughly vetted him as far as embarrassing a program. And I think a community like Pittsburgh, I know it's not quite the same as A.J. Burnett, but a lot of people really thought he was a big attitude problem coming into it, and they really embraced him. And I feel like kind of put him back on the right footing. I'm not a huge fan. I know there's some reports out of ESPN, but I don't think they've exactly had the best track record lately. So just wanted to see what your thoughts were.
Well, I would assign.
I
would.
It would be a great thing.
Yeah, thanks, Brad. I agree. If you're cleared of things, you're cleared of things. That doesn't mean your life should end. It looks like he's been blackballed from baseball altogether. Okay, he may have a history of not being a great teammate, but there are a lot of people in that mode in professional sports today. This is a no-risk one-year situation. He was willing to play for the minimum. He's a former Cy Young winner. I don't understand why. Do it. And if you have to trade him at the deadline, if he proves that he's really decent again and somebody wants him, you can get something for him if you don't want to keep him around. Or he could be a big part of your rotation. And again, it's a one-year commitment. I don't see any problem with that scenario. I think they should have done it. Got to go to a break. We have the counselor. We have Greg in Youngstown. We have Sean in Imperial. We'll get to your calls. Due for a break here. This is a Saturday edition of the Bob Pompiani Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Nathan Haluschek's Behind the Glass. Taking your calls, 412-928-9370. It's 412-928-9370. A lot to get into. We have a lot of people on the line who want to talk. So let's go to the counselor joining us in the car. Hey, counselor, what's up?
Hey, how you doing? Happy Easter, Bob.
Happy Easter to you and everyone out there.
Or Bona Pasqua in our native tongue.
There you go.
Anyway. I was going to tell Eric about the Pirates. I'm very impressed so far. The only thing I think they could do is Clevenger been signed. I thought he was still available.
I don't know. I know that I saw Montgomery sign the other day with Arizona, and I was hoping they would jump on him for 1 year, just because.
Yeah, well, Clevenger was 9-9 with a bad team, so I didn't know if he got re-signed either. But he was with Boston, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, That was my thing. So that was all. And I, now, you know, obviously they got to improve a little bit in their starting pitching, but the way it goes, they didn't do anything extraordinary. So they're just going to have to live with what they got, unless Jared Jones pitches beyond his,
well, listen, they have other guys in their system who may surprise you and jump up this year as well. I mean, not just Skeens, but this guy, Solomento, is supposed to be pretty good. If, you know, they got Josh Fleming. He pitched last night out of the bullpen. He's really a starter. I was surprised they went with Falter over him. I thought they may have gone in that direction. Listen, it's early. I can't make any conclusions other than I thought they were going to be better than last year, and I stick to that by a couple of games. Whether or not, yeah, you know, they missed a wild card last year by 8 games. Can they compete for that? I don't know.
Yeah. I think they can. They get the pitching. That's probably the 99% of the
Yep. Thanks,
situation.
Man. I appreciate it, Counselor. I'll check on Clevenger to see. Let's go to Greg in Youngstown in the meantime. Greg is joining us here on the Fan Hotline.
Hey, Bob. Hey, how's it going? Hey, you know what? I like the hitting on this team. I like the bullpen, and the pitch starting pitching staff's a solid D. I mean, Keller's a third starter. He never pitches a full season. The rest of their pitchers are garbage who's starting. I'm sorry. And,
well, are you going to wait a little bit for Jared Jones? He's only 22.
A 22-year-old guy. I mean, he's 22. I mean, we don't got a Burnett. We don't got a Liriano. We don't got these kind of guys on this team. And let me make another point. Let me talk about the pitch clock for a little bit. When you're a starter, and I pitched, if you're a starter and you start hitting a rut, like you're not throwing strikes, and you know you got a pitch clock behind you, you're going to start throwing the ball. You're not pitching anymore. You're throwing it. And that's what happened to this guy last night again with his pitch clock. They can't step back. They can't get their head back.
Are you talking
together.
About A.J. Puck from Miami? Is that who you're talking
about? No, I'm talking about our pitcher last night. Same thing.
Yeah, but he did okay. He was fine.
No, these guys get in a rut. I saw he couldn't hit the strike zone in the end. They get into a rut. They can't step off the mound. They can't get their head together. They got this stupid pitch clock, which just doesn't even matter. I don't know why you even have this. And these guys start throwing the ball. And you start not hitting the strike zone. And that's a fact. Pitching is an art. It's not throwing a baseball. And this pitch clock, these starters just start become throwers. You're not becoming a pitcher.
Well,
I'm sorry. That's being a
pitcher. I think it's helped the game speed up, and it needed to be speeded up, to be honest. It was just dragging.
For who, Bob? Who?
Well, television controls everything, Greg. Television ratings were telling you one thing, and they were going to try to change it. And I also think it just got rid of a lot of the nonsense that you saw with guys stepping out of the box, resetting their gloves, you know, taking forever. It's unnecessary. And if you're a good pitcher, you'll adapt to it, and I think the good pitchers have adapted to it.
There's a rule in place that they could have given the guy a strike. There was a rule in place. They never. It's like everything in life. You don't enforce the rules that are on the books. You come up with these stupid rules like this pitch clock, and then it's now that's down to 18 seconds.
Well, listen, I have another problem. Thanks, Greg, for the call. I have other concerns. Like, I thought the other day, Nate, you saw this. The Pirates, you know, feel like they catch or block the plate in the opener. Which is they wasted a challenge on it, for God's sakes. He was out by 6 miles. It was Michael McHenry back in that day where he's, you know, I don't understand the need to challenge that. And I certainly don't agree that if it was overturned, I would have just hit the ceiling. I was mad that it interrupted the game at that point. I'm thinking that's a useless challenge because why? The throw was well ahead. There's nothing you can do as a base runner at that point. So he has to move out of the way. So that the guy has a pathway to the home. Screw that. That's all BS. And then last night we saw the Hoskins incident at second base. Again, safety has taken over for good baseball. You're not allowed to do anything anymore because you're going to inflict pain on somebody. Well, you know, that's part of it. I just don't understand it. When the Pirates challenged, I was just shocked that they challenged it. But because there's a rule, the Buster Posey rule has been completely exploited, in my view. I don't like it. I never did like it. I don't care about it. There should be collisions at home plate. I mean, you're trying to get there. The guy is trying to stop you from getting there. What are you supposed to do, play Matador and just bring out this red cape and say, come on in, and if I tag you, maybe. If I don't, it's ridiculous. 412-928-9370. Let's go to Sean in Imperial, who joins us right now. Sean, what's up?
Hey, Bob. Appreciate you taking the call. First off, the other caller seemed a little angry about the new changes in baseball. I think it's been extraordinary with the new, you know, pitch clock and the the change of the base size. I think it's just made it a lot more fun and fast. But what I wanted to focus on is, you know, a lot of people are talking about the rotation being weak and our biggest, you know, glaring point. And if you look around the MLB, there really aren't many bona fide aces. You know, Cole's hurt for a while. He'll be out 2 months. Spencer Strider's an ace. But after that, you don't really have any of those sparkling gems. So I think Keller is more than capable of being the horse of the staff. So I think we could be surprised. You know, we'll watch Jared Jones today. But I wanted to talk about first base. You know, we have a traditional platoon there with Rowdy Tellez and Connor Joe. What do you know about the history of this front office trading prospects for talent now? And I'm thinking about Pete Alonso.
Well, I don't know what Alonso's salary is, so I'm not going to – I'd have to investigate that, but I'm sure he's making a ton of money. But, I mean, to get a bopper like that, I would do it. But, here's the problem, Sean. You mentioned traditional first base. That's the problem. I want someone out there every day. I want to get to a lineup that doesn't have platoons everywhere. That's the problem. I'm so glad that – you know, not glad about Andy Rodriguez's injury. But what I am glad about is that paved the way for them to say, Henry Davis is our catcher. Grandal got injured. He's just a backup, so is DeLay. Henry Davis pitch framed last night very well. He got a couple of pitches from Martin Perez that were out of the strike zone, and he turned them into strikes. I never understood why last year they didn't get more opportunity behind home plate. Now, when Andy Rodriguez comes back, you're talking about first baseman. Maybe that turns out to be your first baseman, either he or Davis, if they're not going to bring Triolo. If it's barring a trade, you're going to have to do it internally with somebody. I thought Connor Joe, by the way, played a very good defensive first base the first two games of the season. And thanks, Sean, for the call. I do appreciate it. Have a wonderful Easter weekend. In the meantime, Cole and Manaka, we'll be having you coming up. We got to take a break here. I want to remind you about the fan weather forecast, which is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet in McMurray. Save some green in March at Sun Chevy or sunchevy.com. This afternoon, periods of rain. It could be in and out. It could be scattered. Who knows? Depends on where you are. Hopefully, if you're on a golf course, it's not going to affect you. High of 56 degrees. Tonight, a passing evening shower or two. Otherwise, considerable cloudiness, low of 43. And tomorrow, mostly cloudy on Easter Sunday with a high of 60. And I hope all of you have a wonderful Easter Sunday. I see Nate has left the building. Thank you, Nate Haluschek. And Joel Nelson is now in the hot seat behind the glass. We'll continue here. 412-928-9370. Your take on the Pirates. The Steelers readying themselves for the NFL draft. The Penguins in Columbus tonight digging out of a massive hole. I don't think they can do it. And I wonder about the future of this team. And how does Kyle Dubas try to make them, while being competitive, in sort of a retooling situation? It's not an easy assignment with so many no-trade clauses, with so many high-end contracts. We'll talk about it when we come back. We're right here. It's a Saturday, and it is the Bob Pompeiani Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Oh, yeah, it's hour number two of the program. Joel Nelson in the hot seat for you at 412-928-9370. Mark that number down and call it. That's our fan hotline. It's also the fan text line, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.com. And our show brought to you by number one Cochran. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at cochran.com. Join us for the number one Cochran Sports Showdown each and every Sunday night at 11:35. We always have a lot to talk about there. Thank you to PNC Bank. Make today the day. Shenderovich, Shenderovich, and Fishman. They got your back, not your wallet. Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call, and Iron Rock Tap House as well. Hey, listen, I asked for your calls. You give them to me. I appreciate that. We have a lot to get into. I kind of laid things out in the last hour, but it's wide open, and I don't want to hesitate any longer because I respect the fact that you guys wait and you want to get on. So thank you for that. Let's go out first to Rob in Monroeville. What's up, Rob? How are you?
Hey, good morning, Bob. How are you doing today?
Good, thanks.
Hey, happy Easter to you and your family.
And happy Easter to you, too, and everyone out there driving around. Hope it's a wonderful and blessed holiday for you.
Amen. Hey, getting back to this fella that called a little while ago about the pitch clock, he's out of his mind. I mean, it has improved the game so much as far as the fan experience. And I was just in an account the other day of mine doing business, and, you know, had my Pirate shirt on opening day, and, you know, said about the game and asked the guy if he's going to be listening to the game or watching the game. And he said, yeah, I started again last year because I quit for years because I couldn't take it anymore. Guys stepping out of the box, adjusted her gloves. crowd themselves, all the stuff that they, yeah, they do, you know, and kicking their shoes, right, and, you know, kicking their spikes with their bat, you know, it, all the little, I mean, I added a minute every time they did that crap. And, you know, and what was the actual time down per game last year? Probably like 40 minutes.
It's like 39 minutes, I think, the official tabulation. That's a lot of time. That's a big difference.
I mean, it's awesome. I mean,
now I'm not. Let me ask you this real quick. I still, you know, I understood why they put the guy leading at second base in extra inning. I don't like that though.
No.
Some people do, but I'm not a big fan of it.
Keep playing the game. I mean, if it takes 25 hours to play a game, so be it. I mean, you know, it's nice to see, you know, the moves that the coaches make with the pitching, you know, the whole nine yards. They should just kept playing the game, you know. And that's one of the reasons why I can't stand pro football anymore. I can't watch it. It takes too long to kick off. 10 minutes of commercial.
Well, we got new rules in the kickoff, Rob. I got to move along, but thank you for your call. I appreciate it.
Definitely.
That happened this week as well, where they're going to use some of the U.S. Or the XFL rules, which, why not? I mean, they need to try to encourage kickoff returns. And we saw that Cordero Patterson, who's number one in the NFL in terms of touchdowns on kickoff returns, including one for 109 yards. Yeah, he's older at 33, but he knows how to do it. That could be a big advantage for the Steelers. They need every advantage they can get in that sort of game. But it's you got to get used to that formation. The kicker kicks off where he normally does, but you got the guys on his team line up at the opposing team's 40, and then the receiving team's players line up between the 30 and 35, and you can't move until the ball lands into the landing zone, which is the 20 to the goal line. And if it doesn't, then the ball goes to the 40. If it goes into the end zone, you can return it or take a knee. When you take a knee, it goes to the 30. A lot of different moves, and it's a one-year trial. We'll see how it goes. Let's go to Cole in Monaco, who joins us right now on the Bob Pompeiani Show. Cole, what's going on today?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
But I just want to – I'll just say it straight up. I don't really think Andrew McCutchen should be batting in the four hole for us this year.
I agree.
And thank you. And me and my dad have been saying it since last year, and I just think that he might have, you know, should have went out on top last year. I was there when he got the 2000th hit. I went to a ton of games. I've seen he was batting pretty well at the beginning of the year last year, but I think the second half of the year, it was kind of showing he might be done. And I think we might have made a mistake not going for a DH or looking for someone to fill that DH role in the off season, maybe.
I think, Cole, that he, you know, first of all, if he had hit his 300th home run, I think he may have retired. I don't know that for sure.
I agree.
Andrew's a wonderful person and somebody who should be remembered as one of the best Pirates ever, given what he did during that time. But,
absolutely.
But, and I still would have him on this team. It's just that he wouldn't be my everyday DH. And I wonder significantly if he's ever going to play in the field at all this year. It may be a game or two here and there, but, you know, I'd rather get a bigger bat in that situation. He has a very keen awareness of the strike zone. That's all good. But I agree. I tend to think that on days that Henry Davis does not catch, he should be the DH. Yeah.
I 100% agree with everything you said.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it, Cole, and we'll see how that goes. But hopefully he gets his 300th home run, which would be a tremendous feat for him. Ken in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hello, Ken. What's going on?
Hey, Bob. I like this Pirates team. And we've got a nice lineup, strong relievers, and I believe that in 2 months our rotation is going to be Skeens, Jones, Mitch, and then you're going to see Perez, the number four guy. And my guess is either Hermain or Lauer is going to be your number five guy.
You mean Bauer?
So this rotation, but no, I'm talking. What's that guy starts with an L? He's at Triple A right now.
Eric Lauer. I thought you meant Bauer. Yes. We were talking about Bauer earlier, so you're talking about Eric Lauer. Okay, I get you.
Yeah, I don't need anybody like Bauer in the clubhouse. But I think this rotation is going to be very good 2 months from now, and it'll be a real nice rotation if everybody, you know, pitches up to their capabilities. And
yeah,
if they do
listen, it's about ifs with that rotation, Ken, right? Too many times we go into seasons with too many ifs with them. I think they're closing the gap. I do think our previous caller who said the National League Central may be better than people think, that could turn out to be true. but I do think it's the weakest of the divisions in the National League. So I think it, if you're going to win a division, this would be the division to be in. So can they do it? I don't know. It's two games. I saw 20-8 last year. I saw what it turned into. So I think you got to temper all of this because it is a long, long season. But if Hayes and Cruz are out there every day, left side of the infield, that's a lot of offense they can give you. I think Triolo's going to show you some pop in his bat, and he's a nice option at second. Tellez and Connor Joe, if they can combine to hit 25 home runs, that would be nice. And I think Henry Davis, I'm glad to see he's catching, and he will be your everyday catcher. I wonder what's going to happen when Grandaldo gets in healthy again.
I think they should trade Grandal. We don't need him. I mean, they said
you'd get nothing
job.
For him. He's a guy who's, you know, he's just there for insurance, and you know, I don't mind him on the team. It's just I did not want him to start over Davis, so I got my wish.
I don't think that's going to happen anymore.
All right, Ken.
But
appreciate it. I got to move along. I appreciate the call from Charlotte. Thank you. Let's go out to John in the car. He wants to talk about a man who was just traded, JT Brubaker, who I thought might be after the All-Star break, someone comes up and helps the Pirates. Now he's a Yankee.
Hey, good afternoon, Bob. Before I get to Brubaker, I just want to mention, as we've discussed, starting a rotation is key. But today's a huge day for Buccos fans with Jones making his debut. And Skeens is actually pitching at Indy today, I believe.
Yes, so, he is, 2:00.
It'll be interesting to see what happens. But in regards to Brubaker, he was a serviceable pitcher, and it was somewhat of a head-scratcher. I know he wasn't going to be back until maybe mid-season, All-Star break or so, but I can't imagine they got much of a haul in return. But Bob Smizek had an interesting tweet this morning saying that his salary was about $2.2 million. So, you know, it's kind of curious why they would dump him. You know, why not a team looking for pitching, why not wait and see what he has when he returns?
That's because the player to be named later is Juan Soto. You didn't know that, see? And the Pirates will immediately sign him to a 10-year, $1 billion contract. You've missed that?
You need to tweet that out, Bob.
Yeah, right.
Hey, one other quick thing. Why in the world is Bailey Falter in the starting rotation? I mean, I know he's a lefty, but come on. Let's just go with
Priester. They got a lot of lefties. I would have gone to, I said earlier, Josh Fleming is a guy they acquired. He pitched last night. He's a lefty, too. I would have deferred to him. But, Quinn Priester's another guy to watch. I'm glad you brought his name up, John. He hopefully he'll get it and force them to make some moves with him.
Exactly.
All right. Thanks, brother. Appreciate the call. Happy Easter to you. Let's go out to Guy in California, Pennsylvania. Guy, what's up?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, Bob.
Sure.
Hey, listen, I know it's a little early to have a postmortem on the Penguins season, but this team's collapse after the All-Star break was incredible. You know, lots of teams are leaking oil right now, whether it's the Panthers, the Flyers, with only 3 wins, you know, in the last 10 games or so. But the Penguins, I mean, 3 of their 4 wheels came off. When you look at the month of March, I'll be quick here. Erik Karlsson, 15 games, 0 goals, 3 assists, +/-8. Letang, by comparison, is Paul Coffey. He's had 1 goal, 4 assists, and he's a -5 +/-. So one last statement here. You know, the Pens, if you're depending on a fast game, you know, in this team, despite having the oldest and one of the smallest teams in the league, it doesn't help if you don't have anyone who can't crash the net. And if you don't, these results are predictable.
Yeah, I agree with that. And you're right. They doubled down on something they really didn't need. And they were all wide-eyed and bushy-tailed because they got the Norris Trophy winner, 3-time Erik Karlsson, who just added age and a leaky part of his defense. He's not been what I expected him to be. I thought he would be better. But the bottom line is they're stuck with him now. They got rid of some contracts. I think the Penguins have not adapted to what they've really become, which is a slower team. Therefore, you have to show you can win other ways. You can't just keep putting your pedal to the metal when you can't outrace other teams. And I think generally that's what's happened. Are they capable of still dominating good teams? Yeah, they have. And they did, even in Colorado, where they built a lead, and they were the better team for half of that game, and then they completely fell apart. Like Carolina here on the Jake Guentzel return. They show you they can win with those teams. But over the course of a long season, they're just not built to compete with some of these younger teams, I think. And therein lies the problem now. What do you do if you're Kyle Dubas? Because he wants to be competitive. They're going to bring back their stars because they still have marquee value and they result in ticket sales. But they have to get younger, and they have to figure out new ways to do it. I'm finally glad Drew O'Connor's got a legit opportunity and showing you what he can do. There are others in their system. They brought Sam Poulin up. He needs to show something at this point. And people like that guy, you know what I'm saying? It's time. Right, but right. I don't know how you acquire it. You're going to save some money in the cap when Carter leaves. That saves you money. You can maybe trade, you know, I don't know if you can trade Raquel at his price, but they shouldn't have given him that money. You know what I'm saying? They're going to have to – Dubas is going to be under a lot of pressure this offseason.
It's going to be tough, too, because both Letang and Malkin have a no-trade contract. So you can't – you know, you're going to have to keep the main
pieces. Well, you can ask them if they want – if they would consider moving or if it's, you know, something they think about. You can do that. It doesn't hurt to ask, does it?
No, but I think what happened – just one last statement. I think what you saw is psychologically this team is very fragile. You know, they had Vegas on the ropes. Vegas came back early in February.
Right.
Vegas came back and beat them. Then the next game against Arizona, they had a blooper reel material at Arizona. And then, you know, you saw what happened against Vancouver. It the wheels just came off on this team, and it's gonna take, you know, God bless Crosby, he's doing his best, but it's gonna take some other leadership in that room. And it's unfortunate, you know, I think Gensel would have been a good piece because at least he was in front of the net. Now Bunting looks interesting because
Bunting is a guy who's not afraid there, guy. Thanks for the call, too. Appreciate it. But, yeah, I like Michael Bunting. I just hope the other guys they got will show in time that they're capable of being NHL players. Ken and McCandless, before we go to our update with Joel Nelson. Hey, Ken, what's up?
Hey, Bob, thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to commend you for your patience with that Greg guy that was on a few calls ago, the one that got into the pitch clock eventually.
Greg is a passionate guy. He's angered a lot. I get it. I'm pretty patient, though. I've learned patience is not just a virtue. It's a necessity, especially in this business. So I'm good.
Yeah, I understand. You can recognize the Pirate haters when they – and he just had that – they have that agenda, you can tell, when they first start the call. And for him to say that the Pirates pitching staff is garbage, and then when you challenged him on it and said, what about Jared Jones, he says, well he's 22. And, you know, they have no logic. They just have this hatred. And, you know, there's other people, too, that have the hatred of nothing. And you can disagree all you want, but you don't need to be hateful about it.
No, but I think people – I wouldn't use the word hateful. I think frustrated and angered. Because it's the same stuff, and until proven differently, I think people should have that reaction. I don't have a problem with that at all, because I've been one of them. I don't like how they refuse to spend some dollars when the dollars are available, and they don't have to be big-time 8-year, $200 million contracts. I'm talking about what I saw from Jordan Montgomery, what I saw from Blake Snell. That's doable for a team like Pittsburgh. That doesn't mean you're going to keep them here long-term or maybe even beyond this year. But you can bring those guys in if you smell an opportunity to compete in this division. Why wouldn't you do that? 1 year, $25 million?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on those. And on Brubaker, I think one thing with him is if you look back on the history of the Tommy John, they come back in, you know, 14 months, 16 months, but really 2 years are blown away. They're never effective when they first come back. So I think that's what they were thinking. He's not going to help them this year, and then he's going into arbitration again, and they just figured maybe they'll get something for him now, and maybe they won't keep him, and he's not going to build up his value this year.
Yeah.
That's why they did that.
We'll find out. He'll eventually pitch for them. We'll see what he does on a very good hitting team. Thanks, Ken, for McCandless. Joel, I'm going to squeeze in Jambo because I don't want to let him hang in. He's been waiting for 14 minutes, and he is in Hopwood, and he's hopping on the fan hotline right now. What's up, Jambo?
Hey, first-time caller here. Thanks.
Appreciate
for taking it.
I like my friends up in Hopwood, Pennsylvania. It's a good area.
Oh, thanks. Hey, okay, I tell you what I got. I got the lighter side here. I got three nicknames I'm going to throw at you, and then I'm going to ask a question, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, the first one's about you. Mr. Bob Pompiani, the potentate of Pittsburgh sports. How do you like that one?
Keep going.
Okay, clipboard Kenny, and I don't know if anybody's ever said this one, but Deontay dropped some.
Oh yeah,
I've
heard that before, and we'll see what he does there with his new team. Jambo, thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
One more thing. Did Ron Cook retire 1 month too early, or what?
What do you mean 1 month too early? Why?
Well, look what all's happened in Pittsburgh sports here in the
last
month.
One of the reasons why he wanted to retire. I think he got, you know, he's done it for all these years. He's enjoying it. I talked to him last night. He's out walking every day. I know he had dinner with Starkey, who's playing golf down there and getting more frustrated by the round. So he's enjoying life, and you get to a point where that has to be top priority. Jambo, thanks for the call. Appreciate it, man. I'll let him know you said hi. 412-928-9370. I want to remind you, on your way to work and want to keep listening to Adam Crowley and Doran Dickerson after you park the car, are you trying to get caught up on the latest news during your lunch break with Joe Starkey? Do you want to stop listening? No. For Pony and Muller, once you pull in the driveway with the Odyssey app and Odyssey.com, you can just download the app and visit Odyssey.com. Search 93.7 The Fan and click on our shows. Download the Odyssey app today and get started. We'll take a break, come back with more. Joel Nelson has an update. More calls until 1 right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Light rain moving into the area right now. It's going to be spotty here and there. Shouldn't be a deluge in any way, so I'm trying to be optimistic for all you golfers out there ready to go and make the trip to the course. Hey, just, you know, everyone has that weather gear that no one seems to wear, just like umbrellas. Joel, I don't know about you. I have like 30 umbrellas, all nice ones, but I always seem never to use them, even when I'm walking in rain. Like, if it's a short distance, I'll just do it. What's the point of having so many umbrellas? What am I doing? I'm a hoarder.
That's one where you need just like, yeah, probably maybe two or three. I guess if one of them breaks, you got a backup one. But yeah, definitely not 30. I know that.
I've had some go inside out, you know, with wind. You know how
that's just annoying.
Yeah, it's annoying. It's really hard to get it back to. 412-928-9370. We have a doubleheader of basketball on today. The Elite Eight. We're down to that. Three ACC teams in that Elite Eight. Illinois against UConn, no ACC team there, but UConn is a team looking to you know, repeat. And honestly, they seem to be better, you know, than any team out there. Again, by far, they're 8.5-point favorites over Illinois, and that's the team that took Duquesne out of this tournament. You know, so you're in a situation there where who knocks them off? The one thing I'll say about Duke, and I believe this to be true, is that they have not gone into the transfer portal for their players. They have most all recruited by them, developed them, and now playing with them. And they'll take on NC State tomorrow, the darling team down there. So while you seem to rely, most teams, on transfers, and there's a lot of them out there, UConn has a couple of them. Their guards, I believe, are both transfers, but they're really good players. You don't have to do it that way. You can still develop. So we'll see what happens. For whatever reason, NC State is on this unbelievable roll. And I'm telling you, their season was in peril there for a long time. It looked like their coach would be fired. He was on the hot seat. It looked like, you know, they were going to be eliminated even before they had a chance to get the automatic qualifier from the ACC. They trailed Louisville at halftime 2.5 weeks ago, Joel. And at that point, their head coach was on a hot seat. Potentially their season was over in 20 minutes if they had lost that game, but they came back and since then have won 8 games in 17 days. That includes the ACC tournament where they won the automatic bid. The coach who was on the hot seat got a raise and an extension. So that's what happens when you win in these situations. It also tells you to be patient, which some teams aren't. They got hot. How many teams have gotten hot in this part of the year? And if you get – see, the automatic qualifier is important. Duquesne got it. I don't know if they would have been in. And that hurt Pitt because too many teams that got them weren't expected to get them, and it knocked some people out. So the bottom line is, load up what you can. I still think Pitt got jobbed. I'll remain that way. But, I mean, you can't belabor the point. It's over and done with, so that is. Anyway, Clemson and Alabama. Clemson's playing very good. That's a – game today, 3.5-point spread for Alabama. UConn's an 8.5-point spread over Illinois. So we'll see about that. But Clemson's another team that has gotten hot at the right time. They have a good chemistry. NC State, man, they just, everything works through DJ Burns, the big dude in the middle. And every time he got the ball here in Pittsburgh at PPG Paints Arena, everyone said, they're making noise. They knew he's got quick feet. But last night, I thought Marquette had the proper defense to stop him. He only scored – can you check how many points he scored? I don't think he had many, Joel. But, you know, I expect him to be a double-double guy. That's what he's been doing. However, Marquette, every time he got the ball, collapsed around him. But what that did was opened up space for other guys. And what those other guys did were bury shots, Horn specifically. But he was really good with his passing, recognizing where an open guy was. And it's difficult to pass when you have a couple of guys behind you and trying to stop you from doing it. A very, very good vision. So what did he have? Did you find out?
Yeah, DJ Burns had only 4 points, just 4 field goals. He did have 7 assists.
That's what I mean. His assist total, you don't expect, but he, and
it
I'm telling you,
led the team by a wide margin.
Some of those assists, Joel, were incredible. They, you know, I mean, it's like he's got hands all around him, and he's threw over it to the other side of the court. I mean, really good work by DJ Burns.
Kind of thing you see from Nikola Jokic, you know?
Yeah, you do.
For a center.
How about, by the way, Wembanyama? What he's been able to, you talk about a guy who's just developed so fast in front of your eyes. When he first started this season, he was frail, I thought, you know, just trying to figure out what he had to do. Now, he's coming off, I think, a 40-point performance with 20 rebounds. He's 7'5", but the dude can dribble. He can shoot. He can run the court. He could be a guard. So San Antonio's got a big-time player there, but they still lose with Greg Popovich. I think it's time for him to move on, too, just my opinion. Let's go to Kevin in the North Hills, who joins us right now on the Fan Hotline. What's up, Kevin?
Hi, Bob. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm, sure.
You know Chris Mad Dog Russo, he's got a syndicate. Yeah, he triggered me yesterday because he actually had mentioned that he thought Pitt should have been in the NCAA, which I obviously 100% agree. So I gave him a call, and he was completely on board with teams that play hot at the end of the season, that are playing well at the end of the season, should get an increased consideration for a bid, which was, you know, Pitt all the way.
And I've said that all along, too. I don't care about November. This committee compares, you know, end of year against tough competitors when you're dealing with, you know, elimination situations versus November. Come on.
Yeah, and the two freshman guards, I mean, it took a while for them to get their feet wet, get used to the college game. And you saw by the last half of the season, our guard play with those two guys and Leggett was really, really good. And, you know, I think obviously that's what propelled them to have such a good finish. And that needs to be taken into consideration. I mean, it's ridiculous. 3 out of the 8 teams are from the ACC, and yet this selection committee and the so-called experts were downplaying the strength of the ACC?
Yeah, I, you know, again, at the time it seemed like an easy thing to do. But when you see them in these situations, again, I brought up the Mountain West, for example. I heard all these people telling me about all these great Mountain West teams. Well, they went 4-6 in this tournament. They have nobody in the Elite Eight. You know, I get it. They're trying to make it so that all these teams have access to this tournament. And that's what the madness actually is, only the first 2 days to me. You know, that's when you get upsets. That's when you get stories that people love. And I get it. They want those stories. They get it. People get involved. I understand. But ultimately, don't you want, like, the best teams? And I know there's no specific way. There's no specific way to come up with an ironclad way of getting them in. But I would put much more emphasis, Kevin, to your point, on late season versus early season.
Yeah, and isn't it ironic that we beat NC State twice and we beat Duke at their place?
At their place.
And now they're both in the Elite Eight.
Yep. Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate the call at 412-928-9370. And do we have any Hawaiian music for our next caller? Because anytime you go to Kevin in Honolulu, where it's about Meli Kaliki Maka all year, he joins us right now all the way from the islands. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, good morning, Bob. By the way, you don't need that umbrella to walk out on the Sony Open course today. It's nice, Bob.
Thanks, Joel.
79 and a slight breeze coming off the ocean.
Are you playing?
No, not today. I'm still recovering from a couple surgeries. I can't swing yet, and I'm too competitive to get out there unless I'm going to, you know,
yeah, I
get
hear
around
you. Well, I'll take your time. Sit on your lanai and have a Mai Tai.
Exactly. Hey, real quick. So, I mean, you just highlighted it with Pitt. You know, 12-15 at the end of the season, beat North Carolina State twice and Duke at Duke. And instead we got Virginia, Boise State, Colorado State, et cetera, that got into it. I mean, the committee could not have done a worse job. That being said, especially in a transfer portal age, the stupidity of how you play late in the season versus early in the season not being a factor is just that. It's stupid. You're in the transfer portal window now, and so it's going to take teams, you know, that first 2 to 3 weeks, maybe a month, to really settle into who they are and to get things in order.
Totally.
Which is what happened to Pitt.
Right.
And so you see a team like North Carolina State that is on a roll, and guess what? It's a hot team that's on a roll. And then you see what happens when a team's not on a roll. North Carolina got in the tournament, got a high seed, but they really weren't playing great, you know, in the ACC tournament and down the line. And Hubert Davis, that's one of the worst coaching jobs I've ever seen in the history of the NCAA, to let Davis keep chucking the ball, going 4 for 29 in that game to knock North Carolina out of the tournament. It was horrific. So yeah. Pitt should have been in. Pitt would probably still be playing. But bottom line is, the nice thing about the tournament is I can watch the tournament from the beginning to the end and thoroughly enjoy the entire thing. It's not like the NFL playoffs where if the Steelers, as usual, are not in or they lose immediately, I'm frustrated to a certain point and don't want to watch some of the playoffs. Even if Pitt's not in, I can watch the tournament all day long, every day.
Kevin, I agree. And what you said at the beginning is another reason why, if you're going to embrace this transfer portal as it is, then you need to consider that when you're making an evaluation about a team. When you have all these new people coming in, it's not just Pitt, it's others. It takes time. You can't just expect them to come out hot in November. They're normally trying to figure out who they are, what roles they play, and that should be a big part of this. Virginia is another team that should never have gotten in, and I say that only because I saw how they played. I saw what they did. I saw Pitt beat them at their place. I saw they can't score more than 40 points a game, and that's on a night where they're shooting a lot. It's not a team, other than you like Tony Bennett because he's won before. It seems like that was it. It was a legacy pick for them, no other reason.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, Kevin, I don't know what happened to you. Anyway, Mele Kiliki Maka. It's not Christmas, but that's the only thing I know about Hawaii. So that's my Hawaiian phrase for you. 412-928-9370. I hope you enjoy and recover from your injuries. We're due for a break. We got to take it right now. Also want to remind you that we want to say thank you, Pittsburgh, for your generosity. Amazes us every year. We see it on TV with the free care fund, how that works at KDK TV. And, man, it's unbelievable the support we get. Well, it's true here, too, at Odyssey. Thanks to all who are able to provide 270,000 meals for the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank through the Giant Eagle Feed the Need Radiothon. Thanks to our friends at Spitzer Toyota, Bill Few Associates, Wealth Management, Hampton Beer Outlet, Pittsburgh Regional Transit, Dollar Bank, Wiggle Whiskey, all their support. You can still support them by purchasing a Feed All Yins shirt. Feeding All Yins shirt, I guess it is, from our friends at Steel City, or texting NEED, N-E-E-D, to 50155. Thank you again. We'll be back with Ryan in New Jersey next, right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Rounding third, heading home, and I don't know what the sign is. What are they doing? Sending me at home. I'm dead on arrival. That's been the Pirates' story on the base paths. Hopefully that'll change, but it does not impact them in their first two games. Even though they made some of those mistakes, they're 2-0. And they'll play again today at 4. Dan Zangrilli will be around with the Bet, the North Shore Tavern leadoff show coming up. That's at 3. And then Jared Jones goes at 4, his major league debut. Paul Skeens is pitching in Indianapolis today. That'll be at 2 o'clock. We'll see how he does. So a big day to evaluate some of these young Pirate pitchers. In the meantime, I want to thank our sponsors once again. PNC Bank, Number One Cochran, Shendorovich, Shendorovich and Fishman, Ireland Contracting, and Iron Rock Tap House in Greensboro. Right now, we're going out to New Jersey. We got Ryan on the line. Hello, Ryan. Thanks for waiting.
Hey, Bob. Real quick. Normally, the comments of the seven-figure aggrieved athlete don't penetrate the shields at all, but I really didn't like what Jake Ensel was saying to the Penns Press the other night. I wanted to know what you thought of it, because I just...
Were you talking about that he had plans, he wanted to be here? Is that what you're talking about?
And yes. I thought it was good. I mean...
Well, it deserved a follow-up question. The follow-up question should have been, Jake, was it strictly money? How much did you want? How much did they offer? And then he would have said nothing.
I know. That's what bugged me, because he's like, I wanted to be here. And he looked real, like, aggrieved. And I was thinking, like, bud, I know Toronto messed up the salary cap again by giving guys $12 million. But you're not getting $10 million to play on that team with their cap situation and with the age of their core. I just thought he looked really bad. I mean, I think he could have handled it. I mean, I know it's tough. They're in a tough spot. He just got traded. But I think he could have handled that a little bit better.
I was waiting for the follow-up question. I would have said that. Okay, what was the difference? Why didn't you? Was it legitimate interest on their part? What was the separation of money? I mean, if you're going to answer these questions, then that has to be part of that equation, because I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I know. They needed the heel there. Where's Rob Rossi when you needed him is what I was thinking. So
But you know, at that point, it was over and done with. I thought the question about would you come back is one that should have been asked also, and it was asked. Whoever asked it, but, you know, would you consider coming back to Pittsburgh? And he should have said, listen, I'm just going to – and he did say this. I'm just playing this year. I like it in Carolina, blah, blah, blah. That's what you're supposed to say. He could have taken the high road there and said, look, we just didn't come to terms. I understood what we were doing. Whatever he said, but that was his answer. So
he said they had other ideas, which sounds like it wasn't me, it was them. I mean, when you're talking about a cap sport and you're talking about a situation where they are – that's not accurate. It's not, you know, it wasn't me, it's them. That's just not – and that was a two-way street. If they never got a conversation off the ground, it's because there was a five-second conversation between Dubas and his agent, and they were $4 million a year and 3 years apart. Like, that's not – it was them, not me. I'm sorry. I just didn't.
Ryan, real quick, I mean, I've been asking this. What do you think Dubas does? Because I think it's a tough thing. If they're going to still maintain, we have these guys here, our plan is to try to get as much out of them in the last years of their deal – so that we could try to win a Stanley Cup. Is that the right way to go at this point? Because I think it's very difficult to try to do both. It's try to difficult to stay with what you have and yet try to get younger and try to get better at the same time. To me, the best way is pick one and load up. Now, Carlson, to me, is a load up, but it's the wrong piece. They needed to get tougher physically, I thought.
Right. They needed a guy up front like a Brock Boozer or a Miller or somebody like that. They could get in between the dots.
Right, right.
Stir things up. Nah, this wasn't like.
Do you do? I mean, how much does he have to play with here? I don't know.
I don't know, but I think they're in a delicate situation here because I know everybody said, "Oh, Crosby's going to retire a Penguin." Okay, he did not take that Gensel trade very well. His reaction, his body language, was not very good. So I think that maybe was a dose of reality. With him going into the extension window this summer, they have to figure out what they're doing, and probably, I'm guessing, behind the scenes, present it to him first. Yep. Is the way I look at it. Because
all right, Ryan, I got to wrap it up, but I appreciate your call as always, man. Thank you too. Happy Easter out there to everyone listening. I do appreciate it. I want to say about the weather here because this afternoon, periods of rain, high of 56. It's not going to be a total washout here. In fact, there are open windows. Those of you who think about golfing, I'll raise my hand. Tonight, a passing shower, otherwise considerable cloudiness, low of 43. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, high of 60. Also want to tell you, coming up, it is the BetQL countdown to kickoff. We got doubleheader action today in the NCAA tournament. Illinois against UConn, Clemson against Alabama. Today at 3, it's Dan Zangrilli with the North Shore Tavern leadoff show, followed by the Pirates and the Marlins. Pirates are 2-0. Jared Jones, Major League debut. It's all right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Thank you, Joe Nelson. Thank you for calling, everybody. We'll see you again next Saturday right here on the Bob Pompeiani Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.